This is Digital Story Podcast number 785, April 6, 2021. Today's theme, if I were to buy a photo printer. I'm Derek Story. Quite possibly the barrier to making more visual art is the printer itself. Do you have an aging behemoth that gives you unpredictable results? Has your all-in-one become an all-in-none? Would you like something that's just a bit smarter, smaller, and better looking? Well then, keep listening. Today's TDS podcast will get you up and running again. I hope you enjoy the show. Yes, indeed, photo printers have evolved over the last few years, just like everything else in our industry. And there are some pretty interesting options right now, some of which are quite affordable. So you can get state-of-the-art and not break the bank. And I'm going to cover, the most expensive printer I cover, I believe, is $899. But most of them are well below that. Now, before I get to the printers themselves, I want to talk a little bit about dye-based printing and pigment-based printing, because I'll refer to them when I talk about the different printers. Generally speaking, dye-based printing is excellent, and it's really good if you like vibrant colors, if you print on gloss or semi-gloss. The dye-based inks today are just fantastic. Pigment-based inks, if you're someone that likes using your different black inks, like your black and your gray, that kind of thing for gallery type black and white prints, then I think pigment base is a good way to go. And in fact, one of the printers I'm going to talk about from Canon, they actually use pigment based black for the document printing, and then they use dye based ink, all in the same printer, for the color print printing, and thinking that the dye-based ink gives them really vibrant photographs, really pretty colors, but yet that pigment-based ink is much better for, that black, that solid, crisp black document printing. So you can get combinations thereof too. Now, some folks believe, and, I think there's data to back this up, that pigment-based inks, they last a little bit longer, your prints. That could be true to some degree, but these technologies are evolving, and dye-based inks have changed a lot over the last few years. And I wouldn't decide which printer to go with based on that thinking, the longevity of a pigment-based print versus dye-based. I would think, though, in terms of what type of printing you do, and if you really like color printing that's vibrant and you use gloss and semi-gloss paper, dye-based is a good way to go. More of a black and white person who also prints color, pigment might be the way to go for you. All right, so just a little background. That's broad brush strokes indeed, but at least it gives you a little something to work with when we talk about those two different types of inks. Now let's get to the printers themselves. I have five of them here, and I have three 13-inch printers, and then two 11 by 17 printers, which I think are very interesting. We'll start with the 13-inch printers. The Epson SureColor Pro 700 13-inch photo printer. This is a lovely printer, $799. By the way, the links to all the printers I'm talking about are in the show notes. You just go to the show notes. You'll have the little descriptions for each printer. In other words, basic look at its features. And then you'll have the link to the printer itself, so you can go look at it. But this Epson SureColor Pro 700 is a terrific printer, very highly rated. Users seem to like it a lot. Maximum print size, this is a 13-inch printer, so you can get 13 by 19-inch prints out of it. My favorite size for big prints, although I do like 11 by 14 as well, but 13 by 19s are great. This has 10 pigment-based ink cartridges. So you really, when you talk about getting photo quality prints out of a inkjet printer, these 10 pigment-based inks are really nice. And again, this is a versatile printer. So whether you want to print black and white or print color, it will do very, very well. Good connectivity, has a RJ45 USB Type-B, and Wi-Fi. And it's compatible with both Windows and Mac. It is AirPrint compatible as well, and I do a lot of AirPrinting that allows you to print from your mobile devices as well. You know, a lot of times you go, why do I need to go to the computer to make a 4x6 print? You know, just send it, in my case, from the iPhone to the printer, AirPrint compatible, boom, out it comes, I'm done. And, you know, our mobile devices are so good these days, why not, right? Why not just go that way? One of the really neat things about the SureColor P700 is that it accepts roll paper. So you can save a lot on paper by buying rolls of it instead of just the sheets. And our good friends at Red River Paper sells rolls as well as flat sheets. So that's good to know. Has a front and rear feed. And it has a lovely LCD. This is a touchscreen LCD, as most of these are. So this is for someone who I think really wants to take their printing seriously. In other words, they're not just after doing the occasional hobby print, doing the occasional fine art greeting card. They want to maybe print a show for a local coffee shop or beyond. You know, they're thinking, I want a printer that can handle any sort of job that I want to do. If I want to sell prints, I think this is a good printer as well. The pigment-based ink gives you a lot of confidence when you're selling your images. And of course, if you want to do black and white as well as color, hard to miss with this printer. $799, it's a solid choice. Now, I would say that its big competitor is, Canon has a couple competitors in this range, and I wrestled with which one to pick, but I ended up going with the ProGraph Pro 300 13-inch professional inkjet printer. $899, so it's a bit more expensive, but it is very, very competitive as well. Maximum print size, again, 13 by 19. 10 pigment-based cartridges. You have all your connectivity options, USB, Wi-Fi. Also works very well with both Mac and Windows. Is AirPrint compatible? I think the one thing that's really different with the Canon is that it does not have a roll paper accessory or out of the box. So it's more just sheet-fed paper, although you can feed your paper from the back, you know, your fine art paper that's a little bit thicker and so forth. But the thing that it really has going for it are absolutely beautiful images as well. Now, if you put the Canon up against the SureColor Pro 700, and it's a blind test, right? So same file from both printers. You're probably going to like them both a lot, right? You're probably going to, you know, and they're both pigment-based. They both have 10 cartridges. I mean, these are both serious printers. So I think it really comes down to the little features, and that's where you're going to want to go over the reviews and see what people say about the printers. You want to go over the little details and the specs. You want to go over how the printer looks. Go over its footprint to see how well it fits in your space. You know, you're going to be looking for those things to make your decision. Of course, $100 price difference will factor in as well, because they're both going to make fabulous long living prints. You know, they're both going to do well that. So you really need to decide if you want to go for one of these two heavy hitters on the other factors. And sometimes people just like one brand over the other, and that could be the deciding factor, and that's perfectly fine. From my perspective, you cannot miss if you're a serious printer with either of these two. They're both terrific printers. All right, now we're going to go down the price scale a bit, and we're going to go to a $599 printer, but this one is a beauty as well, and this is the Canon Pixma Pro 200 wireless professional inkjet photo printer. It's another 13 by 19 inch device. This has 8 ink cartridges, and this is a dye-based printer. So this, I think, is more, this is what you see often in graphic arts studios, in places where you're printing comps for clients, where you want to make just these gorgeous glossy prints, things like that. Now, I have had both dye-based and pigment-based, and I will say that they go toe-to-toe very well. It's something really worth knowing in your head, you know, do I have a dye-based printer or do I have a pigment-based, just as you're thinking about what it does best. And again, as I have mentioned a number of times, this will do color prints absolutely fabulous. Not as strong in the black and white print on matte paper as the two above it, as the two that I mentioned earlier. USB Type-B connectivity, Wi-Fi, platform compatibility, Win and Mac, AirPrint, yes, LCD, yes, no roll paper, but you can feed from behind. Now, the thing that I would say that really differentiates this printer from, let's say, the Pro 300, the Canon Pro 300, is that you have 8 cartridges instead of 10 cartridges, and it's dye-based instead of pigment-based. Otherwise, a lot of the features are very much the same, and if you're printing color on semi-gloss paper, it's going to be hard to tell these two apart. But they are $300 in difference and $200 in difference from the Epson P700. So this is a way to get a professional inkjet printer at less of a cost, but yet produces outstanding work. Now, these next two printers are fascinating to me because their maximum print size is 11 by 17. 11 by 17, which means for guys like me, I like printing 11 by 14. I sort of fell in love again with that dimension last year. And I like the way they look in frames. I like the size. I like the little, you know, a little bit more squarish dimensions compared to the 13 by 19, which is very rectangular. And the other thing about these, they're good for craft printing, for scrapbooking and things like that as well. They have a smaller footprint, so that's, you know, really nice as well, and they're a little bit cheaper. So if you're thinking, I really like printing 8.5 by 11, I love printing fine art cards, I love printing calendars, and I like doing some scrapbooking or not, but I also like printing 11 by 14, and by the way, again, Red River Paper has a fantastic selection of 11 by 14 paper. I know because I have been getting it because I've, like I said, I've fallen in love with this size. And you can save a lot of money. The Epson I'm going to talk about is $299 and the Canon is $249. Okay, so we've really gone down here, but yet these are fantastic printers. So let me tell you about the first one of these two, the Epson Expression Photo XP970 small in one, isn't that cute, small in one inkjet printer for $299. And again, remember, I have links to all this stuff in the show notes. So the maximum print size is 11 by 17. It has 6 ink cartridges, so that's not bad at all. 6 is still quite good, and it's dye based, so it's a dye based printer. Connects USB Type-B and Wi-Fi. Win and Mac, does AirPrint, does have a lovely LCD. It doesn't accept roll paper, nor would you expect it to, right? It's just not that kind of printer. But what it does have, in addition to, you know, these really cool features, and pretty handsome too, and the smaller footprint, is it has a flatbed scanner included. So this is where you get a device with an excellent flatbed scanner, can print 11 by 17, 6 dye-based cartridges, and then it has all the goodies, you know, that you would want in terms of connectivity and Wi-Fi and all that stuff. And when you look into these closer, look for things like SD card slots, if that's of interest to you, and things like that, because these types of printers, in this case, the small-in-one, they tend to have a lot of those cool little features as well. So this is one where you really want to go over the specs. High customer satisfaction ratings, $299. Pretty cool device. I'm actually very tempted by one myself. Now, the other one, the competitor to it, is the Canon PIXMA TS9521C wireless all-in-one craft printer. That's what they call it. And that's $249. Again, you get that 11 by 17, but it's interesting. This is the combo where you have the pigment-based cartridge for the black, and then you have dye-based for the cyan, magenta, yellow, and photo black. Fascinating, isn't it? And the thinking being, again, if this is a craft printer, so that you're going to be printing out text, a lot of text as well, and to really get that excellent text, that crisp, deep black text, they're going with a pigment-based black for that type of printing, dye-based for the colors. That fascinates me. I kind of wish it did have, you know, one more cartridge, go up to six, but five is enough. Five is my minimum, by the way, for anything that I want to print with photos. I like five or more. I really prefer six or more, but five is just fine, especially with that one black cartridge being pigment-based. That's kind of cool. Connectivity, Bluetooth, USB Type-B, and Wi-Fi. Again, it's Windows and Mac. AirPrint compatible. Nice LCD, very nice LCD. No roll paper, as you would expect. And it also has a flatbed scanner. So, you know, these last two on the list, I think are super tempting. And I would have a hard time deciding between the two. Part of me likes that extra cartridge with the Epson, and the other part of me likes that pigment-based black in the Canon. You know, it could end up being a coin flip on this. Either one with that 11 by 17 print capability really gives me what I want, because I'm printing fine art cards. I'm printing 8.5 by 11 or 8 by 10. I like 8 by 10 too. And I'm printing 11 by 14. That the bulk of my printing is right there. And I have a 13-inch printer if I need it. I have the Canon, the older Canon, if I need a 13-inch. But I was just thinking, having, you know, that functionality and that small footprint with these either two, and being able to do 90% of what I want, and being affordable, I'm really tempted. I don't know what I'm going to do. So those are the five that, if I were recommending printers right now to my best friend who I care a whole lot about, which would be you, right? Then these are the five. The Epson SureColor P700 13-inch printer for $799. The Canon Pro 300 13-inch printer for $899. Those are both pigment-based. The Canon Pro 200 for $599. That's 8 cartridges of dye. And then the two 11 by 17 printers, the Epson XP970 that has 6 dye-based cartridges, and the Canon TS9521C that has 5 cartridges, one of them pigment-based. If you decide to go for any of these, or if you're tempted by any of these, please do a post on our Facebook page where I post this podcast. I'd love to hear what your decision is and why you made that decision in this very tempting lot of inkjet printers. And those of you who have sent me mail saying, would you please talk about the latest printers? I hope this helps you out. I'm pretty excited about them myself. I may be nabbing one in the near future as well. Follow up from last week about the new Infrared Photography Online Workshop, beginning in May 2021, just right around the corner. We have 2 seats left on that one. The signups have been pretty steady over the last week. I have 2 seats left. This is going to be a great time, mid-May, to do an IR workshop. We're working with both color and black and white infrared. We talk about workflow. We talk about cameras. We talk about the different filters. We talk about how you manage your white balance. We talk about red and blue channel swap. We talk about everything that you need to know, including some very nice software tools that are very affordable that will make your IR processing much easier and fit within your existing workflow. What's not to like about this course, right? You can grab one of those 2 seats right now by going to thenimblephotographer.com, going to workshops. You'll see it right there. And I have a link directly to the catalog page in the show notes. Click on it, sign up right now. Tuition is $145. And if you're a Patreon Inner Circle member, make sure you go to that page first. get your discount code. And for you, it's only $130. That gives you four sessions plus our Saturday presentation day. Great value, and it's a lot of fun. And I can tell you for a fact it's a lot of fun because I'm in the middle of one right now and we're having a blast. LG leaves a trail of photo innovations behind. I don't know if you've read this or not, but LG is going to be no longer making smartphones. So this is an interesting post on Petapixel. I'm going to read you the first part of it, then I'll talk just a bit about it. But here's what the author has to say. It may not have come as a surprise for those with ears to the ground in the mobile phone industry, but LG is officially walking away. Despite that, it does leave something of an imaging legacy behind. As of July 31st, 2021, it will be the end of an era for the company, as the drawdown will be complete by that date. It will continue selling the remaining inventory even after that date, but nothing new will come out from here on. LG's struggle to carve out a steady piece of the market and grow it proved daunting, with Chinese brands emerging as serious contenders to all the established players. The market squeeze forced a rethink of what to do to stand out. Thus were phones like the dual-screen G8X and the V60 Thin Q, and especially the Wing, came out looking totally unique. To my mind, one of the reasons LG lost its way is because it stumbled on the photography side. There were certainly other, sometimes related reasons, but the imaging part of the equation was a major factor. The V40 pioneered the triple camera array, albeit too late to stand out among the pack. The problem was that the software wasn't good enough to help produce better photos. Google had software computation, Samsung had decent output, Huawei had outstanding performance, and OnePlus had improving quality. Tighter competition and less of a differentiating hook continued to push LG to the side. In an era where camera performance and image quality figured so prominently as a selling point for high-end and mid-range handsets, LG struggled to make its own case. It stopped being the first to do things and followed trends instead. Its attempt at artificial intelligence input for its camera array never amounted to much in the way of innovative prowess. If you go and look at the article, and of course the link is in the show notes, the author does a pretty good job of covering LG's photography innovations in its earlier days. And anyone who's owned an LG smartphone will know what I'm talking about here, that they were riding the wave. They did make excellent cameras for their phones, and they were, you know, first in a couple different categories. I think what happened was, and this is what he's pointing to in this part of the article, is that they weren't able to maintain that innovative edge, and the others not only caught up to them, but then began to pass them. And I think once that happens, once you're passed in the innovative category, then it's really hard to catch up. You kind of start, you know, grasping for straws a little bit. Some of their latest designs kind of felt that way. And then the next thing you know, you don't really have a way to differentiate yourself from the other major players. If you're just doing the same thing that everyone else is doing and you're doing a little bit later, that's tough because this is a very competitive business. Part of me anyway hates it when I see a company that I really like, whether it's LG or anyone else, we don't need to go down that list right now, leave a space that they had done very well in and then suddenly just kind of lost their way a little bit. But that is what's going on with LG in the smartphone space. And if you really want to read more about it, this article is a pretty good article because it's from the smartphone photography standpoint, which is, you know, this author's theory as to what went wrong. And it's an area that, of course, we're interested in as photographers when we use smartphones. Hate to see it, LG, but you know what? I have many of your other products and I'm sure I'll have many more in the years to come. They just won't be smartphones. All right, let's cover a little Virtual Camera Club news right now. All right, Inner Circle members, a big shout out to you guys and gals. I just love you guys and gals. And I also want to tell you that I'm going to be posting the winner for the LowPro bag that I was talking about last week on our Patreon site. I'll put it in next week's podcast. I wanted to give everyone the full amount of time, and I'm recording this podcast a bit early, so I did not want to jump the gun on that, right? Stay tuned. Keep an eye out on our Patreon site, and I'll be posting the lucky photographer who gets that really cool bag that I talked about last week. And that's just one of the things that I love to do with our Patreon members. They're a great group. They treat me well, and I love treating them well. Together, I really feel like we're all rowing in the same direction here. Big thanks to all of you who are currently members. Welcome aboard, new members. We have some new ones right now, and I'm so glad to have you here. And those of you who aren't Inner Circle members yet, hope to have you join us soon as well. If you want to find out more, just go to the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of Digital Story. Just click on that tile. It will take you over to our Patreon page. And you can nose around there, see what you like, and hopefully join us. Because, as I say, this is a great group of artists supporting this community. I have one more seat open for Integrating iPhone into a Pro Photography Workflow online workshop. And that begins April 21st, right around the corner. Oh my gosh, it's going to be here soon. I can't. So fun to go back to this workshop. This will be the second session of it. And as I mentioned, I have one seat open for that. And that's where we get serious about iPhone photography and choose our favorite digital camera, our favorite nimble digital camera, and make those two work together, singing in harmony. Yes. So we talk about capture, we talk about workflow. Try to show you some of the cool things that the iPhone can do to improve your photographic prowess with it. And it's just fun. I mean, this is just a fun workshop. So anyway, if you want to nab that remaining seat, all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops, and you can sign up right there. Or you can go to the link that's in the show notes. $145 is the tuition. Patreon members, I have a discount code for you on the Patreon site, $130 for you. I want to remind you about my writing on medium.com, M-E-D-I-U-M. Lots of cool stuff. I'm at about 30 articles right now. I'm enjoying the writing, and I'm getting nice traction with it as well. It's been a win-win experience. If you want to see what I'm up to over there, just go to medium.com, enter Derek's story in the search field. All my stuff will come up. Read some of it. If you like it, clap for it. That's what they do there. They have claps for it. And if you really like it, please follow me. I would love that. So I have exciting news on the EV Explorers front. I finally found a way to get that electrical hookup in my garage. It's going to be at my home, not at my studio, so I can get a level 2 charger at home. If you want to know what the heck I'm talking about the exciting world of electric vehicles. We have a group. I run it on our workshop site, and it's a very engaged group and a very knowledgeable group. If you're interested in electric cars, if you're interested in everything that has to do with EV transportation, then I encourage you to join that group. All you have to do is click on the link that's in the show notes, go over there. I'll get a notice that you want to get into the group. I'll approve you, I promise you, and then you can join this group. And even if you just want to hang out and see what's going on in the world of electric vehicles, I think you'll like it. I'm fascinated by it, and I've learned a lot from our group as I prepare for my own electric vehicle. And finally, be sure to visit our friends at Red River Paper. All the stuff I talked about today in terms of printing and everything, they have paper for all these printers. They have the roll paper that I was talking about. If you go with that big Epson, they have the matte paper. They have the gloss, the semi-gloss. They have the fine art card paper. They have everything. And they have ink for these printers as well. So, you know, you might want to check that part out too. Red River paper is the second stop that you want to make after you get your new inkjet printer to make sure you get it outfitted correctly. Make sure you have some cool paper on hand. Make sure they have all the little accessories, the envelopes for your fine art cards or the glassine sleeves, whatever you need. Whatever you need, they have for you. They'll take great care of you, and their paper is top notch. They also have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Make sure you get some cool stock, have it on hand. That way, when you're ready to fire up your new printer and do something, maybe for a neighbor, maybe a thank you note for someone at work, whatever it is you need to print out, be ready to do so at a moment's notice. You'll look like a champ, you'll look like an artist, because you are an artist, and you'll be able to turn it around quickly. You won't have to depend on anyone else. A big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast, longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I so enjoyed having you here, working on a really cool story for next week, so make sure you come by. Until then, be creative, stay safe, see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.